Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, let's get into it. So I'm here at Dean Carr's house in the Hollywood Hills. Thank you so much. First of all, Dean, not just for inviting me round and coming on the show on this occasion, but I want to thank you for inviting me to two of your, well, maybe not inviting, but guests of your party invited me. So I was kind of a stowaway to both.
Yeah.
But I was at the party in 2013 at that crazy kind of castle bar. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was probably the last one I had. Or it was
2015. Yeah, was maybe the last one, and that was the like cocktail bar on Vine Street.
Yeah, that was a Sassafras.
There we go.
Yeah,
yeah. There was like a band almost in the ceiling.
There was,
wasn't there?
Yeah,
yeah. Good times. But good to see you. I've got some notes here, and I'd like to just try and cover as much ground as physically possible in the time that we have. You were born in Seattle.
I was.
Is that right? Obviously, the Seattle 60s rock scene was, you know, Hendrix and kicking. Were you aware of music from a young age? Were your parents involved with or into music in any way?
Parents not so much into music other than hating my music, but I was into it very young. And
right.
It was just a way to reach out and rebel against your parents and lock them out of your room with the I had locks on the inside of my bedroom to keep them out and the music up, but it was a lot of classic metal and stuff back then. Sabbath and
Priest,
Maiden. Priest, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, that was your musical awakening, wasn't
yeah.
it? So you've always been a metal dude.
Yeah, those guitars just are angels.
I saw you recently did the Rock in Rio with Maiden.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but that was 2001.
Was it one? Fucking yeah. That was that long ago.
But that definitely lived on along, you know, a good dozen years as like kind of the hottest rock concert to outdo. That was an 18 camera shoot, and we started filming it in Mexico City. Then we went to Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Santiago, Chile. And I had them wear the same clothes every night, so we could cut for those other cities into the Rio one. The big one was Rio, and they played for 250,000 people.
Fucking hell.
So,
that's a big crowd, isn't it? And you had literally, how big was your crew if you had 18 cameras?
18 cameras and producers and PAs. It's big.
Was that the biggest live shoot you'd done at that point? And maybe still
ever,
at this point?
Ever.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Fucking hell. Was it something you'd revisit? Would you do anything like of that scale?
I'd love
again?
To. I would love to.
Yeah? Who would be the band that you'd like to do it with?
Man. There's a lot of talent out there I've never really gotten to work with that I'd love to work with. Neil Young.
He still is so ferocious live. Like, the energy in him. He's just a punk rock guy, isn't he?
He is punk rock, man. Yeah,
he goes for hours. So loud, especially when he's playing with Crazy Horse. Like, they're kind of an unstoppable live band,
aren't
they?
That's my favorite stuff, for sure. Yeah, it'd be cool to work with him. You know, we work with Willie and some of those older guys. But
I guess, kind of without being too morbid, you sort of need to do it soon, don't you? because probably
right behind you is Willie Nelson's tombstone,
and that's actually the real deal.
That tombstone. Was from Willie had to dig his own grave and lay in a casket, and kind of probably had a pretty close heart to heart with himself when he was laying in that casket in my gravedigger video, because it's pretty grim.
Yeah. I mean, I'm claustrophobic anyway, so that would be my idea of hell, but it would probably be one of the worst ways to go, I think, getting buried alive, wouldn't it? Mm. So, early life in Seattle, were you an artistic kid from an early age? Were you involved in art?
Cooking, just a lot of music and early photography, sneaking cameras into the concerts, and I still have I have albums and albums of all those old... right on the wall, shots of KK Downing and Tony Iommi and Eddie Van Halen.
Wow.
We were little kids starting early, so the big kids let us come right up in front of them. If we weren't on the wood barricade, we didn't make it.
Right.
We didn't do our job.
And what were you shooting with back then? Just like a super basic?
Shitty little 110 cameras, and it got better and better. My grandpa gave me a Canon AE-1. That changed the quality of my memories of the concerts. The shots came out really cool, man. So, but it was bigger and bulkier, so we had to take the camera apart, and we'd hide it. We'd put the body and the lens in sandwich bags and put them in our underwear and run to the bathroom, get in two stalls and hand the part under. If my friend would hand me the lens under the bathroom stall, I'd build it, and then I put it under my t-shirt with a strap on my neck, and then we just run as fast as we could to get out in the crowd. So,
I love it. Yeah. So a lot of other people were probably sneaking into the toilets to do blow. You guys were going in there to get your camera set up ready.
Yeah.
That's, like a militant operation.
That's all we were doing.
I love it.
Yeah.
And so do you then, after school, do you go and study art at college?
I did.
Yeah. In Seattle still?
No, 6 hours away. It's at Washington State University. It's a big, big... it's a huge university.
And what was the degree in? Was it in fine art or?
Probably partying. 6 hours away from your parents for the first time. And I mean, you learn a lot about life is what that is. And I basically learned I didn't learn shit about photography in not 5 years I was there. I had a great time. But then I got accepted at the Art Center in Pasadena. It's definitely one of the five elite schools for photography and filmmaking.
Is that because you were doing so much in your own time? Because it obviously wasn't on the strength of your academic achievements, right?
Actually, they didn't accept me twice.
Okay.
And then I got accepted the third time with the half scholarship. It didn't make any sense to me, but that's how it went down, and I'm still one of their most successful alumni.
Amazing.
But I had a knock on there. I didn't know squat, lighting and stuff like that.
You had to blag it a bit, did you?
You live it it snowballs and it gets away from you if you don't stay on top of it at that school. And with what the tuition is crazy, so.
What, cost-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what it is now, but it's a lot.
So what year did you move out to Los Angeles?
89. I moved here in 89 and I went straight to school. I only went halfway through the program. So I was working. I was skipping classes because I was working all the time. And
because you were getting gigs coming in?
Yeah.
For what? Like live photography?
Rock
portraits?
And roll. And, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, stuff like that. Some of that early stuff. And then NWA is really where I started.
Is it really?
Shooting NWA at Priority Records.
Fucking hell.
And then,
that must have been a pretty exciting time for you as a young man. I mean, they were so gnarly and aggressive and fresh, weren't they? Like, there was nothing that you'd ever seen quite like that before.
They just seemed like cool cats to me because they were just always nice as could be. It was usually in the studio with them. I'd be in the studio with them. I did maybe 3 shoots with them. But that is definitely where I started. And then I was doing a lot of hip-hop before I was doing rock, and then I did the Tool thing, and I did Pantera and Alice Cooper.
These are all the album covers.
Yeah, and then somebody an artist from Canada named Sass Jordan said, hey, she was at one of my photography exhibitions and said, man, I'd love you to try to do my music video. And I was like, ooh, I've never had a film class, but boy, that'd be kind of neat to try to do it. And I did it. I didn't immediately learn how to really move a camera for a few videos, but it was really cool to see the moving picture instead of just a still photograph. And I loved the collaboration with all the departments on a film set versus just me and my assistant.
Is, I guess photography is a very kind of solitary experience, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I just schlag everything myself and I don't even have an assistant. Maybe we have hair and makeup.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about those early record covers, because I mean that tall one and especially that Pantera one with like the fucking drill going through the skull. How do you go about creating stuff like that? Is it model work? Is it kind of...
Yeah, that was a 3D piece, that Pantera piece. The first one was the X-rated one. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That Walmart wouldn't allow in the store, and they decided, okay, I guess we have to change the album cover because we need Walmart selling Pantera, because those Walmarters, they love their Pantera. So we took the one of the girl's ass with the screw in it,
yeah,
and rethought it. And I had just done a session with a bald friend of mine, and I solarized the print and physically drilled the big rusty drill into his forehead. It was the same as the reverse with the butt one too, but it was just going in there. And I had it for a while. I had the sculpture somewhere for, I don't know where it went.
Was the tool one a sculpture as well? Was that one that you made?
Nah, Adam made that.
Right.
Yeah, that was a big project he built in my studio downtown. I had a huge place, and so we just worked on making it and shooting everything down at the studio downtown. And we were in no time rush, and we spent 2.5 months on that artwork.
Does it all kind of spiral? Do you get one gig, and then you get a bit of a rep off the back of that, and then the next one comes through, and so on? Is that how it sort of happens?
Because
it's always been interesting to me to see how you go from being like a student of photography to then instantly in it and working with all these people.
Yeah, yeah. No, when that stuff gets so much attention, it's like the phone doesn't stop ringing. But it could ring a little more. Ring!
Have you noticed the industry change? Because obviously, you know, records don't sell like they did. There's not the budgets that there were for the marketing of albums, for obviously video shoots. Have you noticed a drastic change?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That shit changed like 15 years ago, I'd say. Yeah, it all started with the downloadable music and all that stuff. And it affected it. It affected everybody having job protection at record labels, and everybody got fired and had to move back home with mommy and daddy and figure out, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'm not a head of a publicity department anymore. So I think a lot of them got their real estate license.
Yeah, I've noticed that. A lot of comedians and musicians always seem to, when they're not on tour, be involved in some way in real estate, don't they?
Yep. But nobody expected that. That's called having the rug pulled out from under your feet.
Is that what it felt like?
Yeah.
Like straight up, this came from out of nowhere and overnight seemingly changed everything. Was it a kind of overnight thing? Did it happen very quickly? Did you notice it was a here today, gone tomorrow?
It probably went through like a 6-year kind of thing where it's like, oh yeah, it's over. Because the A-listers, we were still working, but you notice it's a little less work than it was a few months before, and then it's a little less work, and the budgets fizzle down to meow. You know, we're usually working around $150,000 to $200,000 on a video, and now the new norm is,
it went down to
like 50-60 was like a generous budget, and I mean now it's $5,000 to $20,000. They don't give a fuck what it looks like.
Yeah.
They don't.
And have you noticed, do you feel like a lot of the artistry has gone out of it because of that? Because you don't really see as many iconic music videos these days, I don't think.
Well, where do you see them? It's that, yeah. I mean, it takes money to make something cool. And it's like, you know, my my art department, my glamour department, my stylist, my camera department, all those people have a level of expertise and respect that they deserve, and they deserve to be paid
their worth.
What they're,
So
I had an interesting experiment last month in Portland, and I actually pulled off a pretty cool production for $5,600. I just wanted to, I really liked the song. It was a friend of mine, Joseph Arthur. He's a singer-songwriter in New York, and Peter Buck, the guitarist from R.E.M.
Of course.
And it was, I had an hour to pull it to plan this thing. I landed, I was flying to Portland to do the photo shoot for the album cover.
Right, okay.
And
they just said, hey, you want to do a video?
Well, Joseph and I were back and forth, just really wanted to make it happen because the song was so good, and I had some really cool locations sorted out, and I hit the ground in Portland. The photo film gear place was open for another hour. I just went straight there. I got the okay from the manager that it's thumbs up. We can spend $5,600, and I went and I bought every slider and every piece of motion film thing that they had within the hour of them closing, and we extended the date or the shoot to a 2-day shoot, and I did it, dude. I produced it, art directed it, shot it
on the fly.
Yeah,
that's some punk rock.
I'd never used my Nikon D810 as a movie camera. It does a really nice job.
It's wild, isn't it? Technology now is just so, I mean, even, not that you'd ever want to shoot a music video on an iPhone, but you probably could now. Mm-hmm. Like, the quality is so high, isn't it? Yeah. Especially with the DV cameras, some of the video stuff on them. Like, a lot of bands, I think, make tour videos shooting all of them, don't they?
I'm sure.
Light and portable. What's your preferred sort of, apparatus in the photography department? What would be your go-to cameras? Just for the camera nerds out there, for still, first of all.
I'm a Nikon guy.
Nikon.
Yeah.
And video-wise, do you have preferences to digital or film, or does it all depend on?
I work with two different DP cameramen, and I'm always fine giving them whatever they want. I let them pick that stuff out. If we're on a tight one, we have to scrap some stuff, I do go through their list and tell them, I won't be using that lens, I won't be using that lens. So can those five lenses and save $350.
Yeah. Was the first big video Sweet Dreams? Was that the first kind of like that's, notorious? I mean, I watched that earlier for the first time in a long time, and it's still harrowing and powerful and disturbing. And
Yeah, that was for sure the over the moon one. But it was the same month I did that, and I did Dave Matthews Crash Into Me the same month, which was equally huge video. I know a lot of people overseas don't know who Dave Matthews is, but it's...
I know the name. You did quite a few with him, right? Did you do like four or five?
Four. He's massive artist. Maybe not as big as he used to be, but we had a lot of fun doing cool shit. But yeah, within one month, I had made like my two sort of signature pieces.
Where do you draw inspiration from with a video like that, the Manson one? Because there's the stilts going on. There's that. I mean, that abandoned house is just the dream location. There's a pig in several scenes. Like, do you collaborate with Manson on that?
Somewhat, yeah. I think the more successful ones are when the record label isn't breathing down my back and letting me go to the flea market and I'm buying props. I create scenes based on like hand props or something that'll frame a face or building some kind of weird apparatus for them, like stuff. But I get involved down to what they're wearing. I'm out at the costume place myself with my stylist, and I love every part of it.
How was it working with Manson back then, when he was back?
Great, man.
Over
great.
The top, last of the great rock stars.
Yeah, we launched a few. But he was always fun. And then just after that, we went back to New Orleans to shoot the Antichrist Superstar artwork.
Album cover, yeah.
Yeah. And that was just awesome too. That came out so damn cool.
Does someone like that give themselves wholeheartedly to like modeling, if you want to call it that?
That's
like,
great when they do, man.
Are they all in?
But a lot of these people wouldn't normally do half the stuff I ask them to do, but when they do it and surrender themselves, it's like the results are kick-ass.
Were Deftones happy to stand on those little cages in the
middle of the ocean? Yeah, that was good.
Where was that filmed? It looked like it was a pretty cold day.
That's just the way I colored it. It was just outside of LA at Lake Piru, and we had the floating cages, and we had prosthetic sharks cutting through the water. We set it up so it would look as dangerous as it could when they go underwater and stuff. But then we went to Australia to go film white sharks, and we didn't even see a freaking white shark. We're on like a 6-day expedition on a 80-foot prawn troller and
desperately on the hunt for one.
Yeah, we were with the right people, and we didn't see one. So I had to come back and license a bunch of shark footage.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't actually captured by you, the shark stuff?
No. And I waited my whole life to go do that. And so I kind of came back with my tail between my legs. Yeah. But now I go to Mexico and I swim with these beauties.
Is that the spot, is it? That's where you get the...
It's just so clear. I was in the water plenty in Australia, and it's kind of murky, as I know it is in South Africa. But where I go in off of Ensenada, Mexico, it's 18 hours straight out to sea. So we live on a 120-foot boat for 5 days, and I take 20 friends.
Nice.
And we have like, there'll be 9 to 11 white sharks in the water. The smallest one maybe like 12 feet, but they're 12 to 18 feet.
You were mentioning a minute ago about how you never trained the art of filmmaking. Is that right?
Filmmaking, no. Photography, yes.
So did you just kind of make it up as you went with the video side? And is that why do you think your videos look so unlike anything else? Is because you were approaching it from a very specific, raw point of view?
I had a lot of film department friends that would help me and kind of gave me a overnight crash course in stuff. The best thing to do is to learn how to move the camera, and it took me a while to learn how to move the camera. I mean, I have all these crazy things to do, search figure eights in space, or you know, go through a small hole or something. But I didn't really move the camera for a while. It was pretty static stuff, like on corrosion of conformity.
Yep.
But now we move the camera. I like to move the camera.
Well, that Deftones video is pretty, like, you're right there in it. Mm. And I think the motion and the kind of the fluidity of the camera movement is pretty damn fucking, like, fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of action on that one.
Were you in the water?
No.
Yourself?
No.
I had an image of you maybe with, like, a camera on your head swimming around. Because you're right there in the action, aren't you?
I was watching monitor, so I had to make sure we got the shot right.
Yeah.
Send them back into... Do it again.
And those guys at that time, I mean, such an exciting time for metal music, wasn't it? The mid-90s.
Yeah. Awesome album.
The cream of the crop, Deftones, obviously Manson, who we've spoke about, and then Slipknot. You did the debut Slipknot album cover.
Yeah.
And it obviously had to feature them in their masks and boiler suits, didn't it? Because I think that was what was so iconic about that band and striking. I remember picking up Kerrang as a kid at school and thinking, wow, like, who the hell are these guys? How did they come your way?
Well, Ross Robinson was producing the album, and I was spending a lot of time in the studio with him. That was out at Indigo Ranch. It's out in Malibu. I think it burnt down since then, but Ross did pretty much all his work out at Indigo, and we did almost all the covers for all of Ross's projects, so it was even Vanilla Ice, Deftones, and... I don't think he did Deftones, did he?
I think he did a couple of tracks.
I think that sounds right. But definitely Slipknot. And
what was your initial impression of those guys?
Great, man. Yeah. We got along famously. And I think after we did the photo shoot, we ended up in Vegas together for a couple times. And it was just a lot of chaos.
Yeah, fun. Cutting loose. Yeah. And, I mean, is it hard shepherding 9 guys as a photographer? you know, I imagine having one subject is one thing, but when you've got nine.
No, it wasn't so hard. No, they just want to get the job done and
in and out.
You know, we're having more problems with people, you know, breaking our rhythm and hey, can I have your autograph and stuff like that. No, they're really cool, professional, and they're on top of their game right now, man. They had to do some personnel changes, and sadly, we lost Paul on base. But all those live shows I've gone to, and I've been shooting a lot of their live stuff, and it's like a photographer's dream.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Did you shoot much Alice Cooper live stuff? I know you did a few covers for him.
No, just a cover we shot at my loft.
Because that's another live show that is just so full and rich of opportunity, isn't it?
Yes. No, we just did his album cover.
What a cool dude he is as well, considering what a huge, gigantic star he is. He's very humble and down to earth and cool, isn't he?
Absolutely.
What's your fascination with pigs, Dean? Because there's a pig in Sweet Dreams. There's even a pig in My Own Summer, isn't there? Floating around with the crown on its head.
We
was that your motif for a while there?
We were convinced that the pig with the crown sewn to his head with a propeller coming out of his ass was the reason the sharks didn't come, because they were laughing at us. We were dragging that behind the boat in Australia and nothing came. And those big giant pictures of the band, those huge laminated photos, and we put some weird green stuff in the water, and that we didn't see any sharks.
Those combination
maybe it's our own fault.
Yeah, they're like, we ain't fucking with these guys. And Maynard, how did you first kind of get introduced to him, and obviously with Tool and A Perfect Circle? What was it like working with him on those really iconic album covers?
I was happy Maynard asked me to come back to do the Perfect Circle one, and we did a hell of a job, and that came out great. There's a whole other personality of that girl in the artwork, featured as a brunette, that really almost I could have done a second release and released her as a brunette, because I think it was, to me, the vampy brunette thing worked out better than the stringy long blonde wig.
That albino kind of look, yeah.
She was a cool looking girl. I still keep in touch with her. But yeah, it's always neat when they ask you to come back.
And with someone like him, who's obviously so artistic on every level, is it a collaborative process in that sense, or does he sort of go, you know what you're doing, and crack on?
Yeah, no. Collaboration's the best, man.
Yeah.
The soup only gets better the more cooks you got, and with some special ingredient to bring to the table. And that's why I believe that I enjoy working on the film projects more than the photo projects. It's just, it's a lot more involved, and you know.
Amen. Let's talk about Casey. He's coming over in a bit.
Oh boy, he's not coming to my house. he's gonna be at my house.
He's got to wait down the street.
He ain't coming anywhere.
Call me when you're outside. How long do you two go back?
We go back, man, probably 26 years.
Wow, 26. Is that through Ross as well? Was that another?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came out here when he was super young, didn't he?
He was a little. I didn't know him when he was so young, but I know he was just a skateboarding rat kid that lived in Florida and came out here, and he did some pretty amazing stuff. And we did some pretty amazing stuff.
Most definitely. I mean, well, that album cover is so iconic. And what was the sort of inspiration behind that, with the kids in the church regalia with the axes?
Yeah. Well, we did two album covers and we did the video, and the video is just fierce as it gets. And he was on fire for those, man. And that little girl, Chelsea, went on to do whatever, some silly game show host, or she's a guest star on a game show.
Right.
I was just reading online yesterday that little girl, Chelsea, with the axe, was confused back in the day as being a transgender. But we had like 20 of our rock and roll friends' children, like naked and crusted in clay out in the desert. It was like a rock and roll daycare gone wrong or something. That was pretty cool, man. But Case and I have known each other. We've been in a lot of trouble together, and we've had a lot of fun together.
He's a great guy, so you guys will have a lot of fun talking.
How long's he been sort of on the straight and narrow, if you can call it that?
Yeah, he's been a good boy.
Yeah.
Not running into the neighborhood park cars. Not lately, anyways. he's been good. He's great. He's working on a bunch of new projects. He'll tell you all about them, and we just need to get them done and get that band out and kicking ass like they like to do.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a while, hasn't it? And I know people back home are hungry for it.
They are hungry, yeah.
Does he play over here at all? Has he done any shows at all in recent times?
Very,
we're talking a few years, are we?
Very quiet.
How did you meet Ross?
I don't know which came first, Ross or Casey. Probably Ross. I honestly don't know. I guess I was on a job and it was one of the bands. Maybe it was Korn. It was Korn in 1994. I did a Korn shoot. And that was the Ross Robinson album. And I think that's when I met Ross. Because, man, I went through those photos just the other day. And it's just crazy how young we all of us were, like, the same age. It was 1994, man. It was funky.
Yeah, that was the year, really, wasn't it? There was Korn. There was obviously Deftones, Adrenaline. I guess just behind that curtain was the likes of System of a Down and Slipknot and Cold Chamber and obviously Manson. And
yeah. It was a fun time, man.
Good time to be in LA as well. Sir. Did that feel like the hub of it all? Obviously, those bands were from sort of around.
We were on the pulse of what the hell was going on in this town.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Rat Pack. Literally.
Was there moments when all of those bands sort of would go out and hang out together? Was there a lot of cross-pollination going on socially as well?
Yeah. Certain houses, certain bars. Whiskey Bar was always a big one. It'd be more like the Smashing Pumpkins and Manson and Nails guys. Yeah.
Any good memories you can share? Good nights out? Wild nights out?
Oh, man.
There must have been some iconic ones that stand out in the history books.
You can ask Casey about Ross Robinson, Casey and me getting arrested at Excalibur Casino and spending the night there. I think I have a photo of us in our mugshot somewhere.
Amazing. And Manson, obviously, I mean, I guess even still now is pretty loose, isn't he? But back then, was he someone who enjoyed the fruits and the drinking from the cup?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. We partook. But yeah, he's still got it going on, man.
Let's talk about Cypress Hill.
Yep.
You did the Rap and the Rock you did? Rap and the Rock Superstar videos? Yep. They look like pretty fucking crazy fun shoots. Nadia was telling me about. Was she on both of them as well? On bass? She's definitely on the one.
I think she was just on one. And then I had Christian from Fear Factory come in with a hoodie, kind of anonymously playing an upright cello. I don't think they appeared in the same one. So I think Nadia did Rock and then
he did
Christian
rap.
Did Rap. But, man, we've done a lot for Cypress Hill, man. Did those two videos, did What's Your Name, What's Your Number.
All right, cool. And you did the Cypress Hill 4 cover as well, right?
And that, yeah. You know more than I do.
A little bit of research going into it. I had B-Real on the show recently, and he's just one of those dudes who just seems so effortlessly cool.
Yeah, greatest.
And half of me wanted to have a smoke with him, but because I don't smoke, I knew he'd just bury me. And I'd walk out of there in a haze of fog, not even knowing my own name. And it was my mum's birthday on the day we did the interview, so I was like, I'm going to leave this situation for another time. That band, I guess they were maybe even responsible in some ways for a lot of that new metal crossover, weren't they?
Absolutely.
They kind of preceded it. And
They loved the metal, man. Sendog is he's a rocker, man.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the dudes are Bobo and Muggs. You know what the best one we ever did was that one for DJ Muggs at
The Soul Assassins.
Holy crap, that's a video, man.
Dre's in that, isn't he?
Dre's in that, yeah. The big ladies.
What's the tune?
Huh?
Was it Puppet Master?
Puppet Master. Damn.
I went on tour with Cypress with House of Pain recently, and I was playing that every night. It's a fucking wicked track.
Yeah.
And Everlast you did as well. You did that White Trash Beautiful black and white video for him.
That's a cool video. Yeah, with Aaron Paul, that actor took off.
Is he in that? Is he from Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
When you could get him to do a video like that, he was just about to pop, and he popped.
So that was just before, was it?
Yeah.
Any other moments like that? I noticed that there was...
With celebs, like actors?
Yeah.
Well, Tommy Flanagan came down and he, just out of friendship, kind of was happy to do the Korn video.
Friendship with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Have you known him a long time as well?
Yeah, 20-something.
Fuck.
Yeah. I remember we were at Coachella together and that douchebag singer from Oasis was like running for his life because Flanagan wanted to pound him so bad.
Really?
I'm sure it was over some chick. But that guy was running for his life. And we were... Tommy was always like 2 minutes behind him, but we kept running and this guy didn't know what to do.
That's so good. Do you know the story about how he got the scar? Is that well known?
Yeah, he was just a kid and he got bottled in an alley in Scotland when he was a kid. But
fucking hell.
Pretty nasty.
Was he going into acting before that happened, you know? Because I imagine it must have been pretty hard for a while to get work with something like that, but he's obviously now made it work in his favor, hasn't he? And he's kind of almost like a Danny Trejo type character, like the scars make him what
he is. I don't think he was acting that young. I don't think so. I think he's probably over there into a bunch of mischief.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's a great guy. What a character.
I seem to remember Mark Boone Jr. was at one of your parties. The guy's in Sons of Anarchy, the big dude with the big curly hair.
Mm.
Do you know the guy I mean?
I'm not sure, but I know a few of those guys. Not by first name, but
right.
We hang out at this one house, and there's always all those Sons of Anarchy guys over there.
So they cut
loose. And they all want to give me their script, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they cut loose together, do they? Offset and fucking... Well, here we go. Here's your Airbnb.
Hello!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Queen of the Stone Age, Dean.
Oh, yeah.
One of the last, I think, truly great larger-than-life music videos. How did you achieve that look that's going on with the sort of smoky, colorful patterns behind the guys?
I thought it was kind of a graphic novel-y, a little comic book-y.
Very much so. It was almost around the same time as Sin City as well, wasn't it, when that aesthetic was kind of on trend?
Yeah. It was a fairly easy... gag. We shot them on green screen in England.
In England?
Yeah.
Were they on tour or what's going on?
It was somewhere right in London. They were on tour and Dave was drumming on tour. So yep. I wanted to go and do like 3 countries with them. So after we wrapped, I jumped on the bus.
Nice.
And just so cool to see Dave drumming. That's
and Lanigan was on that album as well,
you
right?
You better believe it. Yeah.
I mean, that was that band, I think, for me, at the absolute peak of their powers. And that album is just one of the great LA rock and roll, California rock and roll albums, isn't it?
And Lanigan's just my cool bro from Seattle. So I did some early Screaming Trees videos too. So I love that band, man.
So that was almost like a full circle moment, I guess.
So cool. But I was coming home from that first college I told you about, 6 hours from Seattle in the winter. Driving home solo, hit a fucking deer in the snow. Got out, pulled over. It was nighttime. There's blood everywhere. And I'm trying to follow the trail of blood to see if it's, you know, screwed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the deer, but in my head, it was going to rise up and strike me for hurting it.
Mm-hmm. Claim its revenge.
So that whole story was based on driving home from Washington State University.
Right on.
And I was in my 67 Mustang Fastback, wasted the car. But, yeah.
Oliveri as well. What a rock and roll animal he is.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
He's been on the show. I loved him.
Yeah.
Just cool guy.
He's
cool
doing some really cool stuff with all his other Blood Clot and John Joseph.
Back in the Doors as well. And
yeah. He's a real deal, man.
Isn't he?
Did you talk to him about his police standoff?
Yeah. Oh. And he was telling me all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's real, like, desert maniac.
Yeah, he moved. His girl sold the house, and he's living out in the desert now. Which means I won't get to see him as much.
Uh-huh. So he's another LA figure from sort of years back, is he? He used to run around and get up to some mischief with him, too.
That mischief kind of came around the time that I did that video. We had a lot of fun on the road together. We were pretty much the unruly ones of the whole collection of those guys. It was Nick and me.
I imagine when you're walking through, did you go to festivals with them or was it just club shows when you were on the tour?
Both. Yeah.
I imagine when you walk through a backstage area with those guys, it's almost like the fucking four horsemen of the apocalypse walking through, isn't it? Like Mark, Josh, Dave, Nick. That's a crew right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
And obviously Distillers as well, Drain the Blood, great video.
Thank you.
Did that come through just doing Queens and knowing Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Almost instantaneously. And I know she's back doing some new stuff.
The original lineup, I believe, as well. Yeah.
I'd love to work with them again.
It's like been 18 years or something, at least 15, since the fucking four of them last played together. I think they did a show just the other week, right? The first one.
I don't know anything. I was just told that Slayer's playing tonight. I didn't know about that.
Where are they playing tonight?
I don't know.
You don't know. Is that a Kerry King guitar down there?
That is a Kerry King guitar.
I was trying to figure it out.
He gave me that after we did the Still Raining movie.
And how many? You got about a dozen or so over there. Who else do we have guitars from over here, Dean?
Dave Murray from Iron Maiden. Judas Priest, including KK Downing.
Nice.
Which is the only Priest I listen to. A couple Ministries with the different lineups. A couple Korn guitars.
Have you worked with Ministry? I presume you have.
Yeah.
What have you done with them?
A lot of live stuff.
Live stuff.
Yeah.
Al's a character, right?
Yeah, love him.
is he LA as well? Is he based up and around here?
He's Burbank, but I believe he might have just moved out of town just a little bit.
What's working with someone like that like? Because he's, for me, like almost from that psychedelic Timothy Leary, Hunter S. Thompson kind of era of Outlaws, sort of, you know.
They were really good friends.
Last of a dying breed.
Yeah. I am just, thank God every day that he's still with us, man. He's chilled his show down a bit, so I think Al's not going anywhere anytime soon. We need him here.
We do, right?
Yes, sir.
And they're touring the UK in a few months, actually. They're going all over the place. X-Japan. So I had Yoshiki on this show, and I recently watched the amazing documentary about them. Have you seen that?
I haven't. Casey has it, but I haven't borrowed it yet. But I hear it's great.
How do you even go about trying to capture the larger-than-life insanity of a band like that? Because, I mean, their story, I presume you know the sort of story of the band.
I first did a music video for Hide for a band called Zilch.
Right.
And it was freaking wicked. It was right after Manson, and it was just a twisted fucking video, man. He was a riot, man. He was a funny guy. So then years later, they brought me in to do this video for a song called Jade. And it was just this huge, huge shoot. It was like back to like the old budgets. And I don't know what happened to it. It's like we were cutting it and then it got like shelved and It was a very expensive looking video, and I can't imagine them not releasing it. But Yoshiki wanted to play a werewolf and a vampire, and it's like pick one or the other. Don't be a werewolf and a vampire. And
yeah. That sounds like him, though.
Yeah.
Wants to do and be everything.
It didn't translate too well. So I would have just voted to nix anything to do with the werewolf or the vampire and just focus on rocking because the performance was so good. It was at this old Baroque theater downtown that they opened up for us, and it just beautiful golden balconies. And I can show you some pictures later.
I'd love to. And they just did Coachella, didn't they?
They did.
Which is nuts.
And Manson sang with them.
Yeah, I saw. Because they go way back, I presume. They're sort of in that same world of...
Yeah. That was all like, yeah. So, Hide and Manson, and we'd get kind of nutty together back in the day. But Hide was a...
Would you write a book, Dean? Huh? Would you write a book?
I would.
Is it on the cards? Is it...
Yeah, it takes a lot of... That takes a lot of focusing. I get so distracted, brother. It's not the easiest thing to keep me focused.
No.
I mean, I got the stories. It's all right there.
And you remember all of them? Is it all sort of...
I don't remember them all, but I have the people that can come and remind me of them all.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy ride, man. It's been a fucking crazy ride, man.
What would you call it? Have you got a working title in mind?
No.
The man behind the lens?
Just strap in and turn it up to 20, man.
I like that. Do you find that rock and roll photography is kind of still an art form?
Yeah.
Yeah? You feel like it's...
I'm able to satisfy the labels, although I like working with the littler labels these days, but... Now that everything's digital, my costs are down. I don't have film and processing. It used to be, that was a big line number. That was like almost like $1,800 just for film and processing. And now that it's digital, I can really help these cool bands and these cool, you know, there's a lot of super heavy badass labels here. I'm trying to think of which ones I'd be trying to talk to you about.
Do you feel like the danger and the partying side and the insanity is still in the mix, though?
Definitely not so much. Definitely not so much.
So you got the tail end?
Yeah. And the middle end.
Yeah.
I rode the wave for a good while there. Yeah. So there you go.
And, well, finally, Lisa Marie Presley and Duran Duran and Stevie Nicks. I'd like to sort of get the other side of that. Obviously, those people are just pop culture icons.
Absolutely.
Duran Duran, first of all, that was the first of that list, right? Out of My Mind was the video.
Yeah.
Tell me about working with those guys.
Just super.
Oh, what's that?
That's my laundry. My laundry's ready.
Boom.
You have to fold it for me after this.
Done deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
We shot... I've been shooting a lot in Prague around those years. A lot of shoots were in Prague. But we needed a real cool castle that we could access because that Prague castle, you can't really... It's so busy with tourists. But we went 2 hours out of the city to a little place called Český Krumlov. They shoot a lot of car commercials out there, and it's fucking beautiful, man. But they had a castle there, and it had a moat and, like, live bears down in the thing, and we... shot the coolest video for Duran Duran in this freezing cold. It was February. It was that worst month of the year.
I've been there around that time of year. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Righteously cold.
Yeah. Your bones are just shivering. So, we had full run of this place. They had, like, gold carriages in there. They had, I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but it's like...
Yeah.
Really lush, full of all kinds of stuff, and we had these great extras. And the great thing about Prague is they have all the wardrobe and stuff that's genuinely from like 500 years ago or whatever, man. So all our people look great and
regal and decadent. And
I dressed Simon up as the old man with the sticks on his back, based on the Led Zeppelin 4 album cover.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And were they cool guys? Fun to work with?
Absolutely. I've done another one with them since in New York for a Trident gum commercial. We were selling gum this time. But no, they were really cool. Nick's just a sweetheart. And it was good to see them years later in New York.
I guess they were almost like the Beatles of the 80s, weren't they, those guys? They must have experienced decadence of the highest order.
Yeah, yeah. They can order it up however they want.
Yeah. Yeah, so Lisa Marie, how on earth does that come about?
And how does that one happen? Well, I was a fan. It's like she just has that beautiful look, and I mean, she has her dad's great looks, and the song was just twisted, weird, like smoky room, southern thing, and it was a friend was managing her, and we were asked. It was kind of a special project we came in to do, and had a lot of cool meetings with her about storyline and wardrobe and burning this and throwing this away and what does it mean. And it was very cool. I don't know how many people saw that or if it was widely seen, but it was just a cool experience, and she was absolutely lovely lady.
Is it fun for you as an artist? Because obviously, I guess you're known for a certain aesthetic, which is the kind of Manson, Slipknot, like heavy, dark. Is it cool for you to then go and sort of step outside of that and work with people like Duran Duran and Lisa Marie Presley? And
I welcome it and encourage it at all times.
Yeah.
I like doing the beautiful stuff too, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's beauty even in stuff like that. Yep. You know, that picture behind us there is, you know, obviously pretty disturbing, but there's beauty there, isn't there?
Yeah.
And finally, okay, Stevie Nicks, the legend, the cocaine up the bum. But there wasn't any of that going down on shoot then?
No, I don't have any stories of that for you, unfortunately. But lovely as
cool
well.
Cool person though, right?
That was a two-day shoot. We were using some very slow equipment. It's called motion control, computer operated thing, so the camera does the same exact move, so you can change things in the scene and things disappear like ghosts and stuff. We used it on the Duran Duran one too. Some old cryptic machine we had to bring in from Munich. We had to fly to Munich to go and look at it. And motion control sucks. You're sitting around all day.
Slow, time consuming, yeah. Arduous.
Don't do motion control. So we had motion control on Stevie Nicks, so wasted a lot of time. It came out great. I think she shouldn't surround herself with so many like mourning women that are, a lot of her friends are like that, so that was, seemed like kind of a pack of them all in when I'm getting makeup and stuff done going, oh no, that doesn't look good. It's like, I don't need these ladies
slowing you down
in here. When she and I had built up a rapport all week, I'd been working with her at her house every night almost, you know, doing wardrobe and stuff, and then come shoot day there's like five women telling her what's best for her, and it's like it slowed us down. She's since apologized to me on public television with an interview she did. So that was sweet. I'll take that apology.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there anyone left who you mentioned earlier on, Neil Young, on the live element, talking about from like a music video or album cover standpoint? Is there any dream guests on your list?
No, I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done. I could die tomorrow.
Yeah?
But
I mean, it's quite the legacy already, isn't it?
Well, if the show must go on, because this house ain't quite yet paid off, so I got to keep working. I don't know how people retire these days, dude. It's like you work till you die.
Amen.
But I love working.
Yeah. Well, I guess when you do something like what you do, do you feel blessed? Do you feel lucky? Do you feel sense of pride in everything you've achieved as well?
Very lucky, yeah. Thank you.
And what's coming up next?
I'm working with a very, very good guitarist. He did a lot of stuff with Lane Staley up in Seattle. He's a Seattle-based guy. He's coming in for a secret project thing here next week. And after that, you go to my website, deankarr.com, and If you got something out there that's cool and you need the special touch, you can get a hold of me on there.
A bit of that fairy dust.
Yep, I'll sprinkle it.
Dean, thank you for having me over.
Thank you, buddy.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.